Hello, welcome back to Rewatchers Council for season two, episode two, Some Assembly Required. And welcome back, Adelia Chambo. Missed an episode or so. Glad to have her back. Glad to have her at the controls. You might notice it's ran a little smoother. I don't know if anyone noticed. Yes, ran a little smoother. Adelia, how are you?
I'm doing good, Snark. How are you tonight?
Very good. First off, honest opinions on the episode.
I really enjoyed this episode. I mean, the whole concept truly creeps me out, but I enjoyed the
Sure.
episode a lot.
Yeah, I think the episode's fine. It's not, this is a season where there's so many great episodes, and to measure it
Yeah.
up against those or whatever, it's not going to measure up, guys. Not going to measure up.
It's
Not
not
all
the
of them are
best.
banked.
It's not the best episode I've ever seen, but it's not the worst either.
Yeah, the worst is coming, guys. Don't worry about that. All right, let's get into a little bit. Some Assembly Required. Original air date, Adelia, September 22nd, 1997. It's directed by old friend. I can't remember how many episodes this man's done now, but Bruce Seth Green, yet another episode for him at the helm. Written by, and I believe this is his only writing credit on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Ty King. Ty King has done
Okay.
things for 80s, like 80s sitcoms, like Family Ties, Newhart, classic, sure.
Okay.
Empty Nest. I don't know if you remember Empty Nest, but that was the Golden
I
Girls
do.
spinoff. And of course, Growing Pains. I will say, his IMDb, whatever you call it, biography, must have been written by him. Very entertaining. I'd say
Okay.
probably more entertaining than the episode, but we'll go into what was the number one movie at this time, 1997. It's In and Out, Adelia.
In and Out.
Yeah, this is the one where Kevin Kline plays the acting coach that's outed by his student at the Oscars. It's kind of like it mimics the Tom Cruise thing or whatever when he outed his drama coach from high school. When he won his
Oh.
Oscar for Philadelphia. This is more of a comedy. It's Kevin Kline, I guess, is in it.
I
Yeah,
think you mean
it's.
Tom Hanks. If you're talking about Philadelphia, you said Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah, Tom Hanks. Sure. It's one of them. It's one of those Toms.
It's one of them. One of them.
America's dad. How about that? Now
Yeah.
probably America's grandpa. The number one song in the US, Honey by Mariah Carey, holding on to that spot.
I remember that song.
Number one song in the UK, and get used to this because you're going to hear this quite often. Candle in the Wind, the
Yeah.
1997 version, Elton John, turns out to be the most successful single, selling single of all time. I think maybe behind White Christmas, or it's definitely since like physical copies were
Yeah.
incredibly popular. Of course, came at a very set time in England. It eventually carries on through the States, throughout the world. People now think of that song before they think of the one from Goodbye America, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which is a shame. They forget all about Marilyn Monroe's contributions to that song, I guess. But yes, Candle
Yeah.
in the Wind, you're gonna hear it a lot said. All right, DVD synopsis time. It's a series of grave robbings leads to a science club member who is trying to create a girlfriend for his brother, whom he has just brought back from the dead. Pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, yeah.
I would say those series, a series of grave robbings. There's like one grave robbing, maybe two.
They got all three of those girls from the car accident, so.
That's true. I would say that the Scoobies did almost as much grave robbing, at least grave snooping. Maybe grave
Yes.
snooping is a whole different thing. Now, first off, that chosen one narration is back. It wasn't there for last week for the season premiere, but now it's narrated by the guy who actually said it in an episode. Giles is saying it from this point forward. I guess we could say Anthony Stewart Head, but
Yeah.
in the universe he's Giles. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Starting off in a graveyard, Natch, where Buffy's waiting for a vampire to rise. Like she had some previous intel, I guess. I don't know, somehow. Anyways, Angel finds her. Tells Buffy it's a disorienting waking up in a coffin. Adelia. More on that later. Turns out he's jealous of Xander from that dance at the Bronze. Really, the only time the Bronze is even mentioned in this episode. A bronzeless episode. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is like, oh, okay, very good. Buffy says that her plan worked, making him crazy. They don't notice that the vampire is actually risen, though. Knocks Buffy and Angel. Buffy fights back, but lost her stake somehow. She does lose a stake every once in a while.
My favorite line in this episode came in this fight, where mm-hmm. she goes, I didn't come here to fight, and then the vampire attacks them, and then she goes, oh, wait, yes, I did.
Yes, very good. She grabs a conveniently laid shovel, the vampire does, and uppercuts Angel in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how undead you are. I don't know how you get up from that so quick as he does. Anyways, Buffy breaks the shovel, jabs the vampire with it. Rest in peace, rest in dust, whatever it is, vampire. Then they go right back to continuing arguing. Buffy says, what do you mean he's just a kid? Am I just a kid? What's the answer to that, Adelia?
Yes, you are.
You're a kid. You are a child. You're a child in love with someone, we'll find out, is 225 years older than you. Find mm-hmm. that out in this goddamn episode. Anyways, Angel walks away. Buffy follows, but of course, Buffy falls into yet another open grave.
Yeah.
Angel thinks maybe another vamp's risen. Buffy sees some tracks and a broken lady shoe and says she was dragged from it. You know what I also noticed?
What?
No dirt.
No dirt, yeah.
These guys dug up a 6-foot grave very immaculately. So congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Buffy and Xander walk in on Giles, practicing some pickup lines, Adelia, as one does in the middle of the quad.
Yeah.
In front of all the students. Yep.
My second favorite line was when Buffy said, I didn't realize you were that enamored with that chair or whatever she says. That was very funny.
She tells him to avoid words like amenable and indecorous and to speak English, not whatever they speak wherever in. And then Giles just says, England? So, yeah. Buffy tells him to take her for Mexican food. You think that's a good first date food?
No.
Mexican food, of course, famously, does different things to different people's body. But why take the chance? Why take the chance? And indeed, they figure out he wants to talk to Ms. Callender. She fills him in on last night's events. Giles is intrigued by the grave robbing, which is pretty gross. Buffy says the corpse, which I'm going to say a lot. I see when I start writing down the episode stuff, yeah. I see the word corpse a lot. Meredith Todd, another girl that died around the same age as them. Gee whiz. Xander doesn't know her. Giles says to get Willow to look her up on the computer or thing, whatever he calls it, all the time. Still not used to computers. Rupert Giles. Now, it's the second week of class, but I'm just saying it's the second week of class because this is the second episode of the show. There's already a science fair, Adelia.
Yeah.
Like they have 11 dances a year and a science fair to start things.
Very early for a science fair.
It seems pretty early. Willow has her picture taken by a proto 90s dipshit. You go, of course, with the, you know, an unpopular kid wearing Hawaiian shirts and stuff like that. He starts photographing other girls as well. Find out his name's Eric after Chris tells him to knock it off. Chris, it turns out, seems to be Willow's main competition. She always seems to have competition in these things. Cordy doesn't believe that anybody should have anything to do with education at school if they don't want. I totally agree with her.
That made me laugh.
Her science experiment, of course, the tomato, fruit or vegetable. And if I knew that could have been a thing, I would have actually paid attention and maybe did a science fair for once in a while. Cordy has her picture taken by Eric, and so does Buffy when she shows up to tell Willow about the bat signal. Eric tells Chris that Cordy would be perfect for us, which is creepy. Chris says, mm-hmm. don't be an idiot. She's alive. Probably even as creepy, I imagine.
Yeah.
I imagine it's also creepy to say that. Now, Chris is played by Angelo Spazieri. He was in The Rookie, Sliders, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He quit in 2006 or so to become a tour manager for rock bands. Unfortunately, no longer with us, Angelo Spazieri. Eric is played by Michael Bacall. Now, you'll notice a bunch of these movies have someone in common. I don't know why. I didn't find out why. But he was in Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, and Death Proof.
Okay.
So they all have a common thread there. But he was also a writer on Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and 21 Jump Street, the movie. And just for Ferris, who's also on CSI. Just thought I'd mention that. For good old Ferris. Absent Ferris, as he is. Now, at the library, Willow starts looking up Meredith. Cordy comes in to ask for help on her science project. Willow just says it's a fruit. There you go.
Yeah.
Salt. Cordy says she would have asked Chris, but it would have brought back too many painful memories of Daryl. No one seems to pay attention. Willow finds out Meredith Todd died in a car accident with two other girls. They were part of the Fondren High Pep Squad. Okay? The Fondren High Pep Squad. But in the pictures they pull up for the paper with them as in their Pep Squad gear, they all have a letter J on it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just say Johnson High or something stupid like that? Why did they have to come up with Fondren and then, we couldn't match it up. J's fine. J is almost like it's a Eastern European F or something like that. Maybe that's what they thought.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Anyways, they died on the way to a game. Cordy wonders why every conversation with the Scoobies has the word corpse in it. So yet again, I said the word corpse. Giles suggests it could be zombies. They plan on digging the other two girls' graves up, which is pretty gnarly. Buffy doesn't want Angel involved for some reason. Cordy unfortunately says she has a cheerleader practice. Xander warns her about the zombies eating her. And that's when we get a rule for the show going forward. Zombies don't eat the flesh of the living.
Interesting.
So like the main thing that zombies do, eat the flesh of the living, especially brains. That's why I'd always be safe. I'd never have to worry. They take that out of the equation from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So there you go. Back to the graveyard. Xander, Giles are digging. Will and Buffy are gabbing, eating as well. Xander tells them it would be faster if they helped out. Buffy tells them that she was raised that men dig up the corpses. Again, I say the word. Women have the babies, which is pretty traditional. It's the way I was brought up. Buffy asks who Daryl is, so she actually was paying attention. Willow says he played football and that all the girls were crazy for him, but he died while rock climbing. Well, thanks. They finally reach the coffin. Giles and Xander are too scared to open it, so Buffy does. And then we cut to Cordy leaving practice, but she's being followed by somebody. Oh my god. She does the entire trope where the key falls. Somehow her keys bounce so far underneath her car, she can't peek it. So she takes off. She takes off. She runs into a dumpster. We have Cordelia Chase dumpster diving. She waits around a while, sticks her head up. And who does she see? It's Angel. But... why is Angel wearing that cream-colored coat?
I don't know.
That was as disturbing as this next part, where Cordy says, help me out. Oh, my skirt's stuck on something. And it turns out it's a human hand, Adelia.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
Yeah, it's not cool. At the library, we found out both other graves were empty, not just poor Meredith. The gang knows Angel and Cordy are there. After some awkwardness, they fill Angel in. He says he knows and that they found some of them, meaning the parts of some of them, which is, parts is not a great way to discuss people. Angel says that they must have kept some of the parts. Willow says they must have kept other parts to eat, which is nice. Giles wonders why they would dump the parts at the school. Buffy gives the obvious answer. They probably had classes. Angel says that whoever did it knew what they were doing. Giles says, what student would know that? Willow says, she knows five or six, including herself, that would know how to dismember a body medically. Just nice. It's a nice skill.
Sure.
Cordy Giltza.
I don't know why high schoolers would know how to dismember a body medically.
I don't know how five or six would. Maybe the one weirdo where his dad is like the local mortician or something like that, right?
Maybe.
Five or six, including yourself. Why would she ever? Never mind. You know what?
Not going to ask.
There's some things. It's a helmet. All you have to say, oh, they're on a helmet. Hellmouth, you get to learn these things, I guess. Maybe they had it in part of like junior high or something. Who knows? Anyways, at Chris's house, his mom is watching home movies of Daryl playing football. And then Chris leaves. That's all that scene is for some reason. At school, Xander finds mortician books and the paper with the three girls' picture in it. In Chris's locker, Buffy finds a cut together picture of a girl in Eric's locker. I think the evidence is pretty clear. Who's been doing it? And they find out actually pretty quick. Now they set up a makeshift operating room. Chris and Eric are working on reanimating a corpse, as teenagers do. Eric hangs up the pictures of Willow, Buffy, and Cordelia he took. Then school the next day. Buffy wonders why someone would build their own girl. Xander talks about how the more unattainable, the more attractive someone is, Another callback to the relationship really between the three, I guess. They wonder why Chris and Eric would do this. Buffy asks if they could actually bring someone back to life. Willow says, if it is, my science project is definitely coming in second place. Which I also thought was a good line. They run into Giles, who's been waiting for Jenny. He's going to ask her out. And of course, in the typical Giles fashion, stumbles and bumbles his entire way through it. But then it's Jenny who just says, hey, we should go to the football game. And then you could tell me what you're going to talk about later and stuff like that, which is, he gets kind of bailed out there, but still gets what he wants. Anyways, at a lab, Buffy lets Willow and Xander know that Chris and Eric both didn't show up for school, Adelia. She wonders if they actually did it and what the girl would be feeling. Xander says, girls, technically. Which was nice. Giles shows up and somehow between talking with Jenny and getting to the lab finds out that the police had found three heads in the dumpster. This is, guys, they did not have this information on cell phones back then. I can tell you.
No.
Xander doesn't get it that he found the girls attractive enough. He says, but at least he's not as gross as Eric. Back at Chris's place, he and Eric argue over the next step. Eric tells Chris he knows what they have to do. Chris says he can't kill anyone. Then he tells someone else he can't. That person is his undead brother, Daryl. Adelia. Daryl says that he promised him that he wouldn't be alone. Eric says that if you take life to make a life, it's a wash. Which, I was going to say, which sounds good, but it does not sound good. That's not a very nice thing to say. Chris tells Daryl he could go out, but Daryl says people can't see him. Also, Daryl's another 35-year-old, 18-year-old.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I saw this guy. I swear to God, if he would have said that that's his undead grandfather, I would have said okay. I said, oh, that's his undead stepfather. I get that. Anyways, Daryl played by Ingo Newhouse. Adelia, if you don't know the name,
okay. I don't
blame you at all. He was in, again, more for Ferris. He was in JAG and CSI. He was in The Rock, and he was also on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Turns out he's a former Army Ranger in real life. So there you go. I'm sure all Americans thank you for your service, Ingo. I'm Canadian. I'm Canadian, but even I say good job. He tells Chris She tells Chris, third and long, seconds to go, where do you throw? Third and long? What? A little more dramatic. Yeah, well, it would make sense if he was played Canadian football, which only has three downs. Maybe a little more dramatic to say fourth and goal. I have a feeling that Mr. The guy who wrote the show maybe doesn't watch very many football games, but decided to add it in anyways.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Anyways, Daryl points to the picture of Cordy. That's the head he wants for his future. I don't know, future bride, I guess. At the library, they figure out formaldehyde is why the other heads didn't work. They were starting to get 2 points, and they need to get a fresher head. Ugh. They split off, but Giles, you know, for as much as he scolds Buffy about having a social life, decides he is going to stick around and keep his date with Jenny.
Yeah.
Pretty rude. Pretty rude stuff. Anyways, I don't think the kids cared at all. Buffy shows up at Chris's, his mom, still watching Daryl's games on the TV. Like, all right. Okay. You know, her kid is reanimating corpses. Her kid, pretty smart. But she's still in love with the guy who ran for a 97-yard kickoff return in a high school football game. It's like Al Bundy. Anyways, she decides she's going to make her way downstairs. No one stops her and takes a look. She sees the pictures and then hears a noise from upstairs. Then leaves through the open window just before old Daryl can grab her. So it's good timing for her. We go to the school again. And where ideally, if we're going to go to the school, where do you think we would possibly end up in a scene at?
The locker room.
The girls' locker room, of course. This time, Cordy is getting ready to go out on the field with the rest of the cheerleaders and cheer to cheer the Sunnydale High football team on with their terrific cheers of go, Sunnydale, go, go. Pretty awful. Anyways, turns out, before she can, she gets abducted. She gets abducted, Adelia, for the third time in the last four episodes.
Yeah, this is a pattern with Cordy now.
Yeah, she needs one of those alerts or something like that. It's happening far too often for her. But Buffy manages to find her really quick and satisfyingly kicks Eric in his face. Cordy thanks her, then runs off to the field because she's the apex for the cheerleader pyramid that they're having. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, whatever. I do like how Buffy did also confronted the other two cheerleader girls, and it's like one girl giving her a little bit of shit, and then she's like, where is she? Like, come on, I'm gonna beat the hell out of you if you don't. Anyways, gets the information she needed. Then she hears some noise in there and automatically knows, oh, that's Chris. So he comes out of hiding. He lets Buffy know that he has to do all these things for Daryl. But Eric, after having a superhero, basically, kick him in the face, has already run back to find Daryl. They still plan to get ahead for him. Poor Cordy's head. So they take off. I wish Ferris is here, because the Sunnydale High School wear uniforms very similar to the Washington, now Commanders.
Yeah.
And I was going to explain to everybody that the Washington Commanders is Ferris's favorite football team and that he loves them. He loves them.
No.
That's not true.
No, that's not true.
All right. Well, for more on Ferris's favorite football teams, including probably the Washington Commanders, good friends, better rivals, let's get ready to work the highlights. That's on Fridays, Tim and Caleb. Turns out Jenny loves football, and Giles scoffs at her when she calls it rugged. He says that he thinks that it's rather odd that a nation that prides itself on its virility needs to strap on 40 pounds of protective gear in order to play rugby. What do you have to say about that?
I laughed.
Yeah.
I laughed because it's true.
Yeah. It's been, I think it's been something that maybe someone who was writing the show wanted to say for a last time. Also, Jenny says two things. First, she says that football is America's national pastime.
It definitely is not.
Famously, it's not. And baseball will remind you of that 162 games a year just by one team. You know, one other team might not call it, one might not say it's a Canadian pastime. But yes, baseball, famously their pastime. She also says that the what they're on is a first date. And Jess is did you say first date? And then
Giles was so funny.
Yeah, she goes, you noticed that, huh? So there you go. She's a very confident lady. Angel and Xander show up. Willow and Xander show up. Is Xander wearing the exact same jacket Angel was wearing earlier?
It looks very similar.
Incredibly similar. It's like, did this get mixed up? Does this get mixed up in wardrobe? I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand it on Angel, especially. B, I don't even understand it on Xander. It's like someone had a coat and they really wanted to show it off, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, they tell them that nothing happened at Eric's except a pornography collection so prodigious it even scared Xander. I guess it's pretty remarkable. Then they third wheel the couple. So there. Daryl's watching from under the stands. He sees Cordy and walks up to her when she's getting a drink in between the bleachers. Like, yeah. Why are you keeping the water there?
No idea.
Bad news for her, because as soon as the crowd cheers, she's grabbed again. Mm-hmm. She's grabbed again.
Yep.
This poor girl. Anyways, I guess we can consider that five times. Four times in four episodes. It must be four times in four episodes now. Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyways, they bring her back, which turns out is the old science lab for some reason. They keep saying it's an abandoned building. Like, it tells Cordy, go ahead and scream. It's an abandoned building. No one's going to hear you. Why do all the abandoned buildings in Sunnydale have power?
I don't know. And they said it's the abandoned science lab, so does that make it on campus?
That's what I was thinking, too. I guess it would make sense where it was easy to put all the body parts and et cetera. But yeah, they just kept an old science lab around in a totally separate building with power in it. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it
has to be on campus for how quickly they all get there.
They get there incredibly fast. I actually have that in my notes as well. It does not take long to get anywhere in this episode at all. A little fishy. I guess, you know, it's the Hellmouth. They have other things they have to worry about, like how much their student population drops every single year. Anyways.
Yeah.
Eric fills Cordy in on the plan and gives her the Blofeld. And she starts screaming again. Chris tells Buffy where to find them. She says, oh, it's at the old science lab. She tells them to find Will and Xander, tell them what's going on, then splits. Cordy trying to do the con on Daryl, saying, oh, she'd stay with him. That doesn't matter if you look like a zombie Frankenstein. He doesn't believe her. Eric getting that knife ready. That's not even a scalpel, right? I don't know what that knife is, but a huge silver knife. And he's just putting it over. Yeah, just putting it over the Bunsen burner. He says, it's good enough for government work or something like that. It's like, all right, whatever. Buffy busts down the door again, incredibly quickly gets there. Eric throws the knife at her. She grabs it, no problem. Trying to reason with Daryl, but he starts fighting her. They knock over, again, an open can of gasoline that's in the lab. Conveniently in the lab.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
I don't get it.
All I'm thinking is maybe they're using a generator and stuff
generator.
Like that. Yeah.
You do see Eric pouring the gasoline into something.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it's not. You know what? You know what? It's a plot. It's a plot device. That's what it is. A plot, device, because yeah. as Daryl and Buffy fight, of course, the still lit Bunsen burner gets knocked over, setting the gasoline on fire into a very. It's not a huge fire though.
This not wasn't at a, first. Like,
you don't get too scared at first for this fire. Anyways, Xander shows up. He runs over to Cordelia. The fire starts getting a little bit higher. Buffy's fighting Daryl. Buffy's having no trouble fighting this zombie.
No trouble.
He's beating the hell out of him. Like, yeah. you almost feel bad for Daryl. You don't feel bad for Daryl.
I do
not condone zombies cutting up ladies to make lady friends. Okay. I'm going to say that now and I mean it. But fires is going, tells Corey to get out of there. So he runs over, and then instead of just cutting Cordelia loose and getting on their way, he just pushes the entire gurney out, which works or whatever. And it goes right through the fire and stuff like that. That's the only time the fire ever looks menacing. Anyways, yeah. Fight continues. Buffy gets body slammed. Like, finally, Daryl goes on the offense, body slamming Buffy so hard. She's knocked senseless.
It looked like a pro wrestling move.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, she took a bump. You know, figured she'd be fine. It's one of the easier bumps, I think, to take in wrestling. She's a superhero. But this one really, really did some damage on her. She is knocked silly. She's moving around. Oh, my God. That's when poor Daryl grabs a desk. And he's going to, like, a student's desk. And he's going to crush Buffy's skull. And then Chris shows up though, yells at him to stop. That's when for some reason he just looks at the headless corpse of a few different ladies and decides I can be with you forever, and runs into the fire, and unfortunately gets toasted up this time. There's no reanimating.
No,
a burnt up corpse, and that's why. Right here on the Rewatchers Council, I want to publicly come out pro cremation. Cremation, guys, the choice for not having zombies around. So there you go. Xander and Willow afterwards start moaning about not having any dates, or how can we not get a date? Cordelia walks up and starts to thank Xander and what can ever if I could do anything, and then he just blows her off and goes back to complaining about why people don't find them popular. Buffy is there comforting Chris. I figure that's not the right thing to do at this, right? He did reanimate a human being and was complicit in kidnapping and almost murder.
And stole three people's bodies.
He's a dirty grave robber. He's a dirty grave robber guy.
We should definitely be having him arrested.
Yes. This is uncool.
Not cool.
I think if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Grave robbing's wrong.
It's very wrong.
And it's unclean. So Angel and Buffy walk around the cemetery at the end. That's when we find out Angel's 241 years old and that he's jealous of Xander because he can eat human food with her and see her in the daylight and blah blah blah. Buffy says she doesn't look good in natural light, so there you are. And they just walk off together. And that's the end of the episode. Kind of a little
interesting end.
Yeah, there wasn't much to the end, but
yeah. Interesting way to end an episode about grave robbing and reanimating corpses.
They do walk off hand in hand, so it looks like they're getting a little bit closer. So we have that. But yeah, there was no zing at the end. There was no nothing. It was just kind of like, guys, here's the end of the episode. We got to our 47 minutes or whatever it is. The end. Mm-hmm. Anyways, doesn't matter. Because that was episode 2, Some Assembly Required. Now, episode 3 is... by many, and it should be an anticipated episode. It introduces two of your favorite characters in to the show for the first time. I can't wait
for this because I have a feeling I know who those two favorite characters are.
Yes, they are here next week. School Hard is the episode. And if you know this one wasn't your favorite, this one is definitely way up there. Fantastic episode. Can't wait to talk about it with you, Adelia. Maybe with the other guy who couldn't make it today. But and then sharing it with everybody else here on Rewatchers Council. Adelia, where will people find you other than this place? Which is, you know, probably the best one. But other than this place, where can people find you on the Let's Get Ready Network?
Well, you can find me and Snark over on the Highlights channel every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific for Starting 11, our English Premier League recap show. You can also find me with Ferris on this channel Fridays, 8 p.m. Pacific for the Open Table. Ferris and I had an episode of the Scrum Down come out this week as well. So check that out on the Highlights channel. That's our Six Nations Rugby Recap Show.
Speaking of rugby, right?
Speaking of rugby, yeah.
There you go. It all ties together. You can also, yes, you can find me here. You can find me on Starting 11. Let's Get Ready Network after Snark Weekends. Talking with Danny. We've been talking video games lately. I don't know what we're talking about this weekend. I'm going to guess video games. Some kind of video games, but I have no idea. We'll figure that out in the coming day or so. And then also, we do have a video game actual centric program that's just started up. It's called Old Man Plays Doom After 30 Years. Not my favorite title. Not my favorite title.
And Danny named it.
I can't believe that Brazilian would name it something like that. What would have been?
I can.
What would have been a better name for it? Like, let's see. Stunning Man Plays Doom After 30 Years. I think that'd be a great name for the show.
I don't know, but the render of you that we use for those thumbnails is my favorite render that Alex uses.
Pretty good. Very good. Okay, guys. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and hope to see you next time. School Hard coming up next. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.